Hi, this is Mary Chan, and you're listening to Radio Freak America.
Okay, Kamikaze, I know there's a way that you can get a line outside of your room. I social engineering something, I bet there's a way.
Oh, I'm gonna have to try eventually. I'll see what I can do with those operators.
Don't get in trouble, though, whatever you do.
No, I won't do anything illegal.
Mary Chan!
Yes?
We are so fortunate. Did I tell you that I missed you?
That's very sweet of you.
Thank you very much. You boxed out for a second there.
Yeah, I know.
I am joined. This is a special episode. Did you just wake up?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know we're recording a special episode.
Yes, I do.
Okay, this is a gaming episode because there is a huge void of an internet radio gaming show, as well as other shows. So I decided, being the sacrificing person that I am, giving to the listeners every moment of my waking life, well, almost every waking moment, I am making, along with Kamikaze and Mary Chan, a gaming show. We're going to talk a lot about console games. I think we're mostly console gamers, the three of us. We'll touch on some PC games. We'll hit some gaming news, and guess what? The gaming industry is not always fun and giggles. There's some trouble sometimes. I want to start, though, with a little housekeeping. Get it over with. WS Ninja put us over the top, man. He sent in $2. And we went from 74 to 76, so I will now, since he got us over that $75 mark, I will keep my end of the bargain, throw in the other, well, now, 24, and we'll send $100 to the EFF. I also have my digital video camera, so I will record everything on video. I'm learning how to edit right now. So I'll record, you know, getting the money out of the ATM and doing all that crap, and I'll let everybody watch it. It'll be really, really boring. But it'll be, But it'll be documented, so you guys will see where your money went. And I'm proud of everybody, and I want to thank everybody. It means a lot. I mean, you know, talk to BIOS, man. He knows that. God, it never freaking fails. Well, if it's
girlfriend, you know,
it's Rax. Hold on, I'm taking this. This is really stupid radio. Rax.
Hello, you do.
Dude, I'm recording right now. You're you knew that. Okay, listeners, Rax is sabotaging the show by calling on my cell phone. Hey, he's hacking my show and it's successful. He's hacking the gaming special. We're doing a gaming special, Rax. And what games have you played lately? Okay, I'm talking to Rax. This is bad radio.
Frank's a little too old to be playing games.
No, you're never too old to be playing games.
He hasn't been gaming lately, folks. Okay, Rex, I gotta let you go. This is really horrible radio. I'm not gonna edit it either. Later, man. Oh, what a bastard. You totally hacked us.
Caught real horrible radio.
We have been owned. That's okay, man. I'm not gonna edit this. We are rolling. So, again, WS Ninja put us over the top. We'll be sending that $100 off to the ESS soon. And I think I might just stop it and then just start giving out stickers for swag and stuff like that. I think we've done a big service to fight for digital rights. Now, WS Ninja, he's a big Counter-Strike player. I don't know if you two know this, but I see a lot of handles, and they put brackets with CS or CSR or something like that. I didn't know what that meant. I guess it means something like Counter-Strike, something. Have you guys seen that?
I actually ended up chatting about this with guy I knew the other day. Counter-Strike, I'm not too sure, but he commented, I'm guessing it's a shooting game.
Well, yeah, I know it's a shooting game, but I guess they have, like, clans or something, and they put their... Anyways, he's, like, a huge Counter-Strike fan. And, I got a little flack because I told him, from him and Snake, you know, like, I never played Counter-Strike. I haven't. So, guess what? I went and decided to try it out. I went and bought it. Installed it. And, well, it sucked. I'm going to get big shit now. This is, you know, talk about the gaming show disaster. That's Counter-Strike, dude. This is going to be a big-time disaster. But it did. It sucked. It, like, the controls would stick. I would be spinning around in one place. Like, half of a door would disappear when I'd turn a certain way and then reappear when I turned back and forth. I would die if I got shot, you know, once or twice. I'd croak. It wasn't fun. I never made it past the little training section. And there was a training section. I don't want to have to train for a video game. I want to have fun. You know, I played some Quake 3, you know. I mean, I grew up, let's see, first-person shooters, Wolfenstein, Doom. That was the shit. And you know, I'm trying this, I have to train, and I don't know, man. Just give me a good, dumb shooter. I don't have to think. I just run around and blow people up, man. I love that. So, sorry to say, I wasn't really impressed with Counter-Strike. I still have it. I'm contemplating trading it in. Have you ever played Counter-Strike, Kamikaze?
Yeah. I play Counter-Strike with people online here at my school. It's pretty fun when you play with some people that you actually know. And you can, like, yell at each other, you know, taunts.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Now, you don't have to go through the training crap to play that, do you?
Actually, you don't. I mean, the version of Counter-Strike that I have, it's the modded Half-Life version.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have that training stuff.
Okay.
Retail version, if you buy in stores, has that.
All right, Maybe I should give it a little more time. One sit down with it maybe wasn't enough.
It's for a very good LAN game. If you're at a LAN party,
yeah,
really good to play because you can just yell taunts at people, or if, you know, someone makes a really good kill, you know, you get to see someone celebrate. So it can be really fun if you're playing with other people that you know.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. I did like the weapons. You know, they're more realistic. They had great sounds, but. Yeah, you know what? Okay, all right. I won't trade it in. I'll give it another shot. It's the least I could do for such a, you know, a hugely popular game. Hugely popular. You like something else. Now, my favorite first-person shooter is... You know what it is? It's not Quake 3. It's freaking Duke Nukem, man. That was my favorite game. I played the shit out of that game.
I played it.
I know. Well, yeah, but I wasn't... Dude, it had chicks, you know, it had all the secret stuff. It had paid for cop, you know, not that... You know, I'm all for the police. It was just a fun game. It was a blast. Quake 3, I played a little Quake 3 now. That's a blast. What's your favorite first-person shooter, Kamikaze?
My favorite one, first-person shooter of all time, is GoldenEye 007 for Nintendo 64.
Seriously?
It is my favorite game. The main draw to it is the multiplayer, because of all the options you can choose from. You can choose, like, one-hit kills, pistols only, capture the flag, and it's just such a great game. It has awesome action, and, I mean, if you have a nice big television to play it on, and you got three really good friends... I mean, you can take up a whole day playing that game.
Sounds like it has a lot of replay value.
Oh, definitely. Like, you can open up special options in the single-player mode, like paintball mode, or you can make your characters, you know, shape like Donkey Kong.
Different skin. Right on. Now, it is cartridge-based, and that surprised me when you told me that that's your favorite first-person shooter. It seems like there wouldn't be much to it.
Well, First of all, Rare made it, and Rare's like one of the best console game developers out there.
Oh yeah.
Excellent job with it. I mean, this is probably the first game based on a movie license that was actually good, in my opinion. Usually they suck.
Oh, big time. In fact, I'm going to be talking about another license that sucks big ass. It's like notorious for sucking ass later. I think, Kamikaze, you should, if you want to, tell the listeners why you're on the show, and because you're a special guest on this special episode. So, if you want, go ahead and let the listeners know what to do and where they can go to get more info.
My little online gig that I do, I'm head of media at rpgamer.com. It's one of the most popular role-playing game websites on the internet. Basically, my job entails I go out and find screenshots, movies, artwork, you know, all that pretty stuff you like to look at from the game and post it on the website. And because I'm head of media, I coordinate all of that. So most of my knowledge is in the role-playing game department because that's what the site focuses on.
You and Mary Chan are going to get along, so that's fine.
And my status there will probably earn me a trip to E3 in 2003, so
oh.
I'll definitely be checking out the new games coming up next year.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Basically, that's about it, I guess. Not much more to say.
So rpgamer.com. Yeah, you and Mary Chan are going to have a lot of fun talking later on the show. I have been... Okay, what's the earliest console or computer that you played a game on, Kamikaze?
My first one was Super Mario Brothers on the NES.
On the NES. And you, Mary Chan?
All right, I have a really wonderful story, yeah.
Everybody sit back, grab some more popcorn, and listen to Mary Chan. Go ahead, Mary Chan.
Oh, you can tickle my ass, okay. Okay, when I was little, my mother didn't let me have any gaming consoles. Weird, I know, because she's not my mom, but she just didn't want me to have any gaming consoles. And I went over to a friend's house once, and they had the old Nintendo. Not that Super Nintendo crap. We're talking, like, Nintendo.
The NES.
And I think they're playing the first Super Mario Brothers. And they were talking... Actually, was it Mario Brothers or was it Mario Brothers?
Don't know.
And they said, here, you get to try. I'm, like, five. And for those of you who remember the original Mario, the first thing you got to do is you jump over a little ledge, you know, you squish a little monster going on. I couldn't jump over the ledge. I couldn't. I had no clue on how it worked. None whatsoever. And that was my first video game experience. The first video game experience where I really got into something would probably be Tomb Raider. My dad came home one day and said, I got this computer game, there's this girl, she runs through a cave and shoots wolves. I thought it'd be fun, so I got into Tomb Raider really well. Before that, my video game experiences was just every now and then, Mom would let us run a Sega from Blockbuster, and we'd have such a, you know, cartoons, and we'd go play Sonic or whatever.
Sonic's cricket, yeah, there's nothing better than scantily clad chicks with guns. Now, my first experience, well, boy, that's tough. It's kind of a blur.
Pac-Man.
Because, what?
Pac-Man.
Oh, way before Pac-Man.
Pong?
I'm pretty sure I played Pong. There were games that were, just after Pong, that were very similar. There was one that was like, it was a cabinet, and I can't remember the name of it. I think it was called Shootout, or Cowboy Shootout or something, and it was just like Pong. You had like two cowboys on either side of the screen, and you controlled them, and they shot, and then there was like a, you know, covered wagon that would go across, and you had to shoot around it, and it was like right after Pong. I think that was my first foray into video games. Of course, I had a 2600, had a Commodore 128, didn't have a 64, I went right to the 128, baby, and that was all games for me.
Oregon Trail gone horribly wrong.
That game was awesome. It was just, you know, these blocks, anyway, you know what it looks like. So that was my first foray into video games, and I've been hooked ever since. I mean, there's just, you know, I still love video games, but I'm just not like I used to, you know. I don't know if the magic's gone. I mean, 3D, you know, why don't we just go ahead and talk about this? The 3D stuff for me is just not, I'm not that, you know, drawn into it. I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't draw me in like it used to when I was a kid, you know, playing Pitfall 2 on the 2600. That was just phenomenal, you know. I was Pitfall Harry, you know. And these 3D games, it's like it does everything for you. It draws everything for you. There's no room for imagination. It does it all for you. Not to mention the controls suck on most of these 3D games. I just, it just doesn't do it for me anymore. I love two-dimensional games. I mean, the Street Fighter games. That's why I love, like, the Saturn. That was just one of the best consoles for 2D games.
I can call you Soldier Saturn.
What's that?
Soldier.
I did. I don't have, the only thing I have now is my GameCube, you know? Yeah, I've had every freaking console there was. I stopped playing them and trade them up, you know? Now, Kamikaze, how do you feel about 2D versus 3D?
I think the 2D games have a good draw to them simply because of the simplicity. I mean, the controls aren't complicated. I mean, you can have, like, two buttons to do everything in the game. The NES controller, the little square thing.
Yeah.
The A button, the control pad, start select, that's it. But now you've got, like, the Xbox controller, you've got trigger buttons, you've got, like, six other buttons you can use, and you've got the two analog sticks and the digital pad, so it can be kind of overwhelming for some people who haven't played games, or even overwhelming for me, because I don't like that controller at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's too bulky and too many buttons.
Yeah, or like some PC games where you use the whole keyboard. Dude, that is just a bit much. What, MechWarrior, I believe, is one of them. I had a buddy tell me about MechWarrior. And he said, oh yeah, I got this whole thing mapped out, and you just gotta use every freaking key and all 10 fingers on both hands. Dude, easy, man. That's what I like, arrows, mouse, that's it. I love it. What's that?
Duck Hunt. I'm thinking about that. I realize it's probably the first game I was really into.
Duck Hunt. I love that little
toy gun, and you shot the ducks and stuff, and you tried to shoot the dog, but you couldn't,
Yeah.
My dog, and it wouldn't die.
The dog was cute.
Yes, it was. I was really into it.
Okay, I want to do a little news here quick before we move on. I've been saving this one because I love it. Like I said, it's not all fun in the gaming industry. Nintendo, this is from Flashdown, Nintendo fined $143 million for price fixing. The BBC is reporting that the antitrust branch of the European Commission has fined Nintendo 146 million euros for preventing its distributors from selling games as cheaply as they are sold in other European Union countries. For example, prices on Nintendo products were up to 65% higher in Germany or the Netherlands than in Britain. That is unbelievable. 65%! That's quite a markup.
Well, video games, well, new video games are pretty expensive. I mean, I'll admit, I can pick up, a PlayStation 2 game for $20 now, but when they first come out, we're talking like $50.
Yeah, and think if it was jacked up another 65% because you live in this different country. It must be worth it to take a train ride, buy some games, and drive back. Well, I think there's some bad, bad Vox here. So, it's not always Disneyland in the gaming industry. Another big thing in the gaming industry, and this I'm really digging, is that let me go to this first. Nokia has a custom phone now that is basically, and if you see the picture, it is a controller. Now, why is that? Because games are going to be huge on phones. GSM phones are hitting the U.S., and games are going to be big. Nokia has a new phone, the 7650, and it essentially looks just, it's like a little Game Boy Advance. I mean, it's the coolest thing. The screens are getting, great color, great resolution. Games on phones are going to be big. Sega, I guess, has signed some big deals with, don't quote me on this, I think Sprint PCS. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Spring guy, where he solves everybody's problems.
Right.
Well, there's one where there's a monkey with a cold, which is cute, by the way. I love monkeys. And he holds up a phone, and you'll see, if you notice, Monkey Ball on the screen. That, of course, is a Sega game. So I'm thinking they signed a deal, and Sega's bringing all their games, like Super Hang-On and stuff, to the Sprint PCS network. Of course, you have to download games. That cost money. Who knows if you have to pay to play the games. I don't think so. I think just to download them. So games on phones, watch for it. It's going to be huge. Yeah, screw Snake, man. I got some cool games on my phone. What are they? Like Space Impact or something. Much better than Snake and Memory. And on the...
Actually, your game sounds well to its phone because it's the same as mine has Snake 2, which is actually really fun.
It is? Are you addicted to that?
Yeah. Oh, were you talking to, Streamer?
Okay, now, I think we got some boss frogs here. Now, I think we're all mostly console gamers here. I want to touch on each console that we have, or at least your favorites. Have you got more than one, Kamikaze?
I've got a PlayStation 2, a GameCube, a Game Boy Advance, and a PC. So.
Holy moly.
No Xbox?
I don't like Microsoft. That's just a personal opinion.
I think that's a common opinion to the listeners of this show. And Mary Chan, what do you have?
I have a PS2.
You have a PS2. Didn't you have a PlayStation?
I had a PlayStation, and due to a long and complicated story, I had enough money one day to buy a PS2.
Okay, well, I've got a GameCube. Like I said, I've had lots of consoles in the past. Actually, I want to touch on one before we go on. I had a Dreamcast, and if you want to hack a video game console, the Dreamcast is the one for you. It's got so many different peripherals. What did I do? I ripped it apart. I basically case modded my Dreamcast. I ripped it apart, painted the bottom black, got a translucent green top. You know, you can just do anything to Dreamcast. Play it on, CRT monitors, boot disk to play import games. Of course, you can get Linux running pretty easy on your Dreamcast. Lots and lots of stuff. I think there's a broadband adapter. I'm not sure. I know there's definitely a modem. But, if you want to hack a console, and I'm sure you can find one really cheap now since they're, pretty much dying out. They're dead, pretty much. Pick them up cheap at used game stores and do what you will. Now, Mary Chan, let's start with you.
All right.
Since you've just got the one console. And I already know what your favorite game is. You told me about it, and I just think it's the devil. That game is like, it's the combination of
it's
two...
It's not my favorite game, actually.
What's your favorite game?
All in all, we're talking every single game in the past year that in the past couple of years come out for PlayStation 2. I have to say Final Fantasy X.
Final Fantasy X. Now I've heard that game plays like a movie. Actually, it's more movie than game. Is that true?
There is a lot of movie quality to it, but I think that's what makes it more entertaining. I mean, there's a lot of interaction, lots of stuff you get to do. I mean, a lot of fun side quests and stuff. I mean, you can just spend hundreds of hours on that game, pretty much.
Really? Now, do you get drawn into the game? Do you, feel with the characters? You're like, oh, I'm going to cry. Oh, I feel so happy. Do you get that out of the story?
That's how I cried at the ending.
Oh! No, really? Oh, I'm sorry. That's wonderful. Did you really cry?
Yes, it was sad.
That's so cool. Now, that is a good game. Was there love interest in the game?
Yeah, I've been to see where they make out and stuff. It's pretty cool.
No way. Tongue?
Yeah, probably.
And you could, now that's, I tell you what, Mary Chan crying in a game, that's, there's no better. Hold on. No better way to sell a game than by telling people that you cried at the end. Now talk about the game that I think is a combination of two demons working together.
I think the Kingdom Hearts. Aha!
That is devil incarnate.
That's the devil.
It is the devil. It's the freaking American devil and the Japanese devil.
What happened to you just saying you wanted to go to Disneyland for Christmas?
So?
I mean, I got cynical too, but I picked up because I didn't know anything better to do. And the thing is, it made me feel like I was a little kid again.
You did? No kidding.
And I was like, oh my god, there's a Disney character and they're doing the thing. And I just fell in love with it and all my skepticism about how Disney's an evil money-grubbing bastard went out the window.
Well, they are,
And they have a really, really good fighting system. You'd like it.
Really?
Yeah.
What other games have you liked?
Alright, let's see. I picked up Devil May Cry, which was fun, except it was short, and in the end he falls for a chick who looks like his mom, and I thought that was just nasty right there.
Yeah. That's like scat.
And I'm currently working on Wild Arms 3.
Wild Arms 3. Now, I played the original Wild Arms on the PS... What do you call it? on the PSX, I guess. And I liked it. It was 2D, but it didn't went to that 3D battle crap, and that kind of bugged me. Dude, answer me this, Kamikaze. Why isn't there a game that is like anime, that you're playing anime? I think it's just too expensive. I think it's cheaper to make 3D games. That's why we're inundated by them. It's more expensive to hand-draw a game, and I want a game that's like playing anime.
Well, you got a GameCube, so the new Legend of Zelda game that's supposed to be coming out is using the cel-shaded technology, which is supposed to make 3D games look hand-drawn. So if you check, you can check out the screenshots for it, you know, it looks like Link is, you know, hand-drawn and stuff.
But it's still 3D.
Yeah, basically. Looks really good. The reaction's kind of iffy, though, because there's this camp of gamers that wants a realistic-looking, you know, Legend of Zelda game that takes full advantage of the GameCube's power.
Right.
Other people that, you know, like this new look, it's like going back to the old school, kind of.
Yeah, I do. I dig that. All right, I'm going to check it out. When does that do out?
Don't look for it till sometime next year.
Next year?
It's a Zelda game. They generally take a while, and Nintendo likes to delay them. It's the fact of life with Nintendo games, unfortunately.
Well, hey, if it makes for a better game, I'm all for it. I mean, if they're going to miss this Christmas season to make a good game, and if it looks like you tell me, I'm gonna be pretty happy, I think. Of course, I've got Street Fighter on there, and I love it. I definitely love it. Now, you've got a lot of consoles, Kamikaze. Right now, okay, how about this? Right now, what game are you playing? What game are you into?
Right now, the game I'm currently working on, the game I just finished is a PS1 game. The name of that game is Valkyrie Profile.
I know that one.
Yeah, it's a great role-playing game. The story is about, it's based in Norse mythology, and, you know, many RPGs like to use it, but this game, like, goes all out, and that's what it's based on. And basically, you're this battle maiden named Valkyrie, and you have to go down to the Earth. You have to recruit souls who died for the final battle called Ragnarok. And that's the basic basic plot, but you also get a lot of character, individual character development. You get before you actually recruit a character, you get to see, like, a little story, you know, explaining how they've come to their death, and some of them are really gripping, you know, some of them make people cry.
No kidding.
I've heard.
Wow.
I mean, the battle system itself is really great. Complicated, but once you figure it out, each battle itself takes a lot of strategy. You don't get bored with them. You know, many times you actually want to fight. I think a lot of RPGs fall flat on the face with battle systems.
I'll agree with you there.
Because sometimes you just dread getting into another battle.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Valkyrie Profile, you actually want to fight. And that's what I think what makes it great. It works on pretty much every level.
You know, some of the worst PCs I ever played, I thought they were the worst because there was a battle like every step. You couldn't move through any terrain without fighting, you know, 100 battles, random monster battles, and it was frustrating.
I hate when it happens and you get confused. Because everyone's been in an RPG, we're like, okay, do I do this first, or do I do that? Another battle.
Right.
Do I do this first? Another battle, you know?
I totally agree. So, you said you just finished out your profile?
Yeah, I just finished that like a week ago. I'm waiting, holding off on playing new games for another week because Metroid Fusion for Game Boy Advance comes out next Monday, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And that's the basically it's the official sequel to Super Metroid, which was released in 1994 on the Super Nintendo. And it's basically been a long-awaited game because there hasn't been a Metroid game in 8 years. And basically, I've had a chance to play it on emulator, so I know I want it. I don't have to worry about, you know, thinking, is this game going to be good or not. I actually, you know, previewed it a little bit, and I'm actually going to buy it because I think it's great. The graphics in the game are very sweet. Take full advantage of the power of the Game Boy Advance. There's some really nice-looking cut scenes. I think the 2D in it actually rivals the power that PlayStation 1 can do with its 2D.
Wow. Now, if I'm correct, the PlayStation 1 was bad for 2D.
Not really too bad. I believe the Sega Saturn was better at it, but the PlayStation 1 did have some really nice 2D graphics, but I think the Game Boy Advance easily rivals and outdoes it in some areas.
Wow.
For sound, since I'm using an emulator, the sound is a bit iffy, because with most console emulators, sound is usually one of the last things that's done perfectly. But from what I heard, the ambiance, like the background music, is great. Like, every time you walk into a new room, you know, the music changes to fit the setting, just like it did in Super Metroid. So, that's why I think the sound is also great. As for the gameplay, it's your basic classic 2D platformer, so really old school, and that's why I like it a lot, because I like to go back to the good old days a lot.
Yeah.
We played Super Metroid. Samus has some new abilities. You can grab onto ledges now. The control is intuitive, even though there's like only four buttons. There's less buttons than there was on the Super Nintendo, but they Nintendo made the controls so it would work on the Game Boy Advance and worked really well, at least with the controller that I was using. Really original. The new storyline basically picks up right where Super Metroid left off. Samus gets infected with some virus. She gets somehow cured by it. She gets it cured, so she's immune to it, and then she has to go to the space station to eliminate it. And I'm not going to go any further than that, because there may be some spoilers that people don't want to know about. The best part about it is the nostalgia factor, because you basically feel like you're playing Metroid all over again. Because I first played that game when I was about 10 years old, so it's basically like going back to my childhood.
Yeah.
It also links up to Metroid Prime for GameCube.
Which is the first-person shooter, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's the first-person shooter version, so... And I'm going to give it a try and see if I like it. It's supposed to be really good. That'll be coming out on the exact same day, so if you want to, you can buy both of them and play them both at the same time. So I think Nintendo made a really smart move there.
Yeah.
And I'll basically find out more about the game when I buy it, because I didn't want to play through the whole thing on the emulator.
Sure, you want to save it. Now, I almost bought a Game Boy Advance. But the screen didn't quite sell me. Little dark, you know. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but some guy, I think I saw this on Slashdot, some guy hacked a Game Boy Advance and hooked it up to the LCD screens, the portable LCD screens for the PlayStation. Oh, man, it looks so good. You know, this huge, bright screen. Great hack. I think if it had a better screen, I think I'd buy one, especially now they have this little card reader. Maybe you can talk about this, Kamikaze, if you know about it. I'm sure you do. A little card reader, and you buy, like, trading cards, and you get, like, NES games?
You can buy, like, a pack of cards, like the Donkey Kong pack. You swipe all five cards into the e-reader, and it lets you play the old NES game, Donkey Kong Jr., actually. And there's, like, other games, like Excitebike and Pinball. So there's some really early Nintendo Entertainment System game you can play with the e-card reader. And there's going to be more games released for it. The game Animal Crossing on GameCube uses the e-card reader. So when it comes to like quirky little peripherals, Nintendo usually has the coolest ones, I think.
Yeah, dude. Donkey Kong Jr. I love Donkey Kong Jr. Hey, can you speak up just a little bit, Kamikaze?
Yeah, I can do that.
There we go. Perfect, perfect. Okay, so and I have a GameCube. And here's what's older for me. I'll go through the whole dilemma I was facing. I wanted to get into the 21st century of gaming. I wanted a new console. I definitely didn't want an Xbox. So it was between the PS2 and the GameCube. And I was basically, of course, like everybody else, weighing the games. And really, no side was winning me over. Now, PS2 had lots and lots of games, but I know the quality of Nintendo games. I know there's got to be lots more coming out, you know, I knew it would happen for both systems. But, like I said, neither one was selling me. Until one day, I was in a store, and I saw a little GameCube demo unit. I strolled up, grabbed the controller, I like the controller, by the way, and I started playing Super Monkey Ball 2, and I was hooked. That game is so much fun. Nothing better than little monkey dancing around, rolling in balls. It was awesome, dude. And it's simple, you know? Simple for a simple guy like me, straight up. And I was hooked. So that sold it for me. That one game, Super Monkey Ball 2, just straight up fun. That's what it was to me, and that sold the system. I've since bought some more games, and I'll talk about those in a little bit. I bought one that was really bad, and we'll talk about that. I can't say enough about the GameCube and the quality of games that I've found so far. I know there are more games on the PS2, but I'm really, really happy. Plus, I dig the 3.5-inch disc. You know, I dig that media format. It's real small. It's got a really small footprint, you know, and I need that, you know, with all my other electronics in my lab. So, very, very happy with the GameCube. Let's talk about... Well, you know, let me talk about this. I love Monkey Ball, right? Great game. My game that I'm playing right now, and I think is one of the best games I've played, definitely one of the best on the GameCube, is Godzilla. What is it? Destroy All Monsters Melee. That game is surprisingly good. I mean, it took a great license and made a great game. The controls are good. There's a little bit of a learning curve, but after that, I mean, it's just, they're tight, they're second nature. I mean, and it feels, and this is the best part, it feels like you're a giant monster fighting in a city. It doesn't feel like it's just, you know, like you're just this little model, you know, a big model in a little city. No, it feels like you're a giant monster and that you got this, you know, tiny little town you can stomp on buildings and pick them up. It's great. It's got great, great feel. It's a lot of fun. The cutscenes are kind of cheesy, but it kind of adds to it. So I highly recommend Godzilla for the GameCube. Let's talk about worst games. And I know you got them. What is the worst game you've played lately, Mary Chan?
My thing is, I'm like you, I have really good luck with the games I pick up, you know?
Well, I haven't been lately, and I hate shrink wrap licenses. Well, maybe we'll talk about that later. Go ahead.
I'm trying to think of games, like, I hated Final Fantasy VIII, it was a PlayStation game, though. PlayStation 2, I've had pretty good luck. I had some issues with ICO, but I'll get to that later, but I think the one game that I lost interest in, like, wham, was Legend of Dragoon. It's a role-playing game, and I think that's the reason I got a PlayStation 2, actually, which is, I'm into role-playing games. That's like my main, you know, game type. And I lost the first cliche. The translation was horrible. It had some of the worst dialogue I've heard in ages. Not even, like, you know, good-bad, like Resident Evil. Just bad. Also, yeah. I should have liked, but for some reason, the fact that I couldn't hit the girl with the stick was getting on my nerves.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes good, bad translations are pretty funny. So, Legend of Dragoon was the shittiest game I've ever played. But really, that drove me to the PS2.
No. I played Legend of Dragoon ages ago. What drove me to the PS2 was the one showing me how good Final Fantasy X was.
And it was. Now, how about you, Kamikaze? Worst game?
Barry Chan said Final Fantasy VIII, so I'm going to have to agree with her on that one.
Thank you.
The main thing, the plot was okay. It was a beautiful game, graphic-wise, and it sounded good. But, you know, for a game to work, the gameplay has to draw you in. If it doesn't do that, then no matter how pretty it is or how good the plot is, it just isn't going
to
work.
The game was freaking impossible, though. You had to, like, the fighting system was horrible. You had to do this and this and this and this and this just to get a good weapon. Then, you know how you were saying you had to care about the characters?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the majority of them to die. That's not a good thing, you know? Hey, when she die? Come on, die! Yeah, she's dead. No, she's not dead.
Now, you don't think about real people this way, do you?
Sometimes.
You know, that's okay, actually. That's okay. Any other really shitty games, Kamikaze?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of the ones that I own, because I usually very, very, very picky with games. So usually you'll end up with some really bad ones. I have played some PC games that I thought were supposed to be really good, but kind of fell below expectation. Return to Castle Wolfenstein is one of them. I thought that the game was supposed to be incredibly good, but for some reason I just could not get into it. For first-person shooter, I like Medal of Honor Allied Assault better than Castle Wolfenstein.
Really? That World War II theme draws you in?
World War II is a good genre. A lot of people like to use World War II. Like the latest craze in World War II gaming is Battlefield 1942. It's like a giant multiplayer game, first-person shooter. It works best in multiplayer, in LAN. From what I heard, the single-player isn't even worth it, because you have to play against bots who are incredibly stupid.
Right.
But, yeah, World War II is great cannon fodder for first-person shooter games.
My worst game, and I had the unfortunate incident of purchasing it, because I actually was waiting for this game. I actually went, I don't know if I went the day it came out, but soon after I went to get it, and that was Robotech. And, you know, I thought that the curse, and correct me if I'm wrong, both of you, I thought that the, you know, there is there not a curse on the Macross license?
Well, I guess there is, because there was supposed to be a Robotech game coming out for Nintendo 64 that just kept getting delayed over and over and then never made it.
Right, and any game that had the Robotech license in the past was shitty.
Yeah.
And this one is no different. The graphics, it has that shell, that cel-shaded look, which I like. You know, the intro is cool, but the control, and the graphics are great, the controls, horrible. I mean, I wanted, the designers didn't know whether to make it a simulator or an arcade game. I wanted an arcade-like shooter. I wanted fast controls, easy controls. They just did things wrong, you know, like up and down on the analog stick made the, you know, your mech go up and down, and it was wrong. Instead of having the button, the boost pack made go up. It was bad. The controls were horrible. It was slow. It took forever to turn. You couldn't turn sharp at all. It was annoying. Worst game ever. So stay away. You know what? The curse lives on. Stay away from anything Robotech, anything Macross. All right. Kamikaze, we're all, I think it's safe to say we're all more console gamers. Kamikaze actually has something to talk about, and this is for you PC gamers, and hopefully it'll help you out big time if you're building a box, you want to build a box, and you're into Half-Life, you're into Counter-Strike, you want to play this Medal of Honor stuff, and that is video cards. So why don't you bust some info on the listeners?
All right, currently, if you got like deep pockets, you got a lot of money to throw around, ATI's latest video card, the Radeon 9700, is probably the best. It's the best card out there, you know, bar none. I mean, basically, NVIDIA got caught with the pants down on this one. I'm an ATI supporter, so I'm really happy with this card. I only wish I could afford to buy it. Basically, it's DirectX 9 compatible, even though no games use DirectX 9 and you can't even download it yet. It has full support for it, so if you buy it right now, you're probably set for at least two or 3 years. I'm probably stretching on 3 years, but 2 years, you can probably get by. The benchmarks that I saw versus the best NVIDIA card, the GeForce Ti 4600, basically crushes the card and pretty much every benchmark. Without any image quality filters on, running in 3D Mark 2001 SE, the Radeon 9700 got 12,200 3D marks, while the GeForce card only got 9,600, so that's definitely a huge increase. For Jedi Knight 2, running a benchmark, the Radeon got 133 frames per second, while the GeForce got 122. Not a big difference, but this is without any image quality filtering on, and the Radeon still outperformed anyway. And on the Sirius Sam 2, the Radeon got 95 frames per second, while the GeForce only pushed 51. Now, this card is best known for its ability to do image quality filtering without, you know, any loss in performance, the anti-aliasing and the anti-tropic filtering. The anti-aliasing gets rid of all those jaggies you see on the screen. PS2 gamers can relate to that because PS2 games usually don't have any anti-aliasing. And anti-tropic filtering basically improves the texture quality of textures that are further in the distance. With those enabled, it puts a big stress on your video card. So ATI basically put out a card that, you know, does it really well. On a resolution of 1024x768 with decent anti-aliasing and anti-tropic filtering, the same benchmarks on the 3D Mark benchmark, the Radeon 9700 got 8900 3D marks, while the NVIDIA dropped to 4400, so the Radeon outperforms it by, you know, twice as much. On Jedi Knight 2, the Radeon 9700 got 122 frames per second, while the NVIDIA card dropped to 78 frames per second, sorry. And on Sirius Sam 2, the Radeon pushed 95 frames per second, while the NVIDIA card only pushed 48. So when you put on those image quality enhancers, which makes the game look better as well as what you play it, the Radeon 9700 by far kicks the ass of the GeForce 4600. So if you're looking for sheer power and you got the pocketbook to be able to afford it, I'd go with the Radeon 9700 right now.
Okay, so talk some price, man. How much?
Retail, like if you buy it at Best Buy, you're probably going to have to spend $400 on it.
Woo!
But if you look online, go to PriceWatch or Newegg.com and find a good deal, you can probably get it for around $330.
Damn, you could buy an entire computer for that.
Yeah.
But then again, you'd be playing Doom. Now, what are the specs of this card? How much memory? Does it have like two fans?
It has 128 megs of DDR memory. The core chip speed is at 325 megahertz, and the memory is at 620 megahertz. There's support for AGP-8X. Currently, there's no games out there that really take advantage of it, but when they do come out, you'll definitely see a performance increase over cards that have, you know, only 4X. Like I said, it has DirectX 9 support, which is supposed to improve the image quality of the game greatly. There's some, like, example shots I've seen, screenshots. Basically, with DirectX 9 can basically make real-time graphics look as good as CG graphics. So, basically, you know, full-motion video is about ready to die, which is not a bad thing. But, no, yeah, it's also, you know, using real-time graphics, you know, saves on disk space, so you can cram a lot more game data and not waste, you know, data on movies.
Right. How far off do you think we are from playing, you know, Final Fantasy the movie?
Well, considering the amount of computing power it took and the amount of years it took, I don't think we'll be anywhere near that for, I'd put it at bare minimum 5 years, but, you know, this technology moves incredibly fast, so,
yeah.
You know, just, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, we were using our Voodoo 2s and thinking that was the greatest thing on Earth, so we'll see where we are in, like, 5 years.
Yeah, you know, 5 years isn't that far off, either.
Not at all.
It's not. What do I have in mind? I think I have a, I think I have an NVIDIA GeForce 2 MX200. I think that's what I have in my box. Like 32 megs. And I was in heaven, dude. I thought I was flying. That was the most powerful video card I've ever had. And it works well. It works well with Quake 3, so I'm very happy. But 128? Dude, it's just going nuts.
I believe there'll be 256 megabyte versions coming out next year. So.
Wow.
Doom 3 is going to look very nice on one of those cards.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Now, what do you run in PC-wise? You know, how powerful a system do you have?
I don't have the most powerful system, but I can run pretty much any game they put out today. I have a Radeon 8500, which is like the last generation card.
Uh-huh.
I have an Apple XP processor at 1.6 gigahertz, 512 megabytes of DDR RAM, which runs at 266 megahertz. Basically, for gaming specs, that's pretty much the guts of my system.
And you can run, yeah, that's powerful enough to run anything. I've got like a 1.2 with 32 meg video card, and I'm happy. I don't know, would I be able to run like the latest game right now?
Actually, you probably can.
Really?
I mean, you won't be able to enable all the detail.
Right.
Games, but you can still play them.
Now, this when I enable detail, I don't know much. I know very little about PC gaming. I mean, PC, you're talking all these benchmarks and all this hardware stuff. I don't know much about it. You know, MIP bump mapping, is that a term? Is that a real term?
Yeah, actually it is.
Ha!
That DirectX 8 uses to provide depth and texture to an object, so it doesn't have to actually do it drawing polygons. It can just do it using a texture. So it basically saves, you know, processing power and makes things look better. So
look at that.
That's kind of what DirectX 9 does. It adds a lot more of those special features, which make it look more like CG without actually, you know, drawing it with polygons.
I can't believe I actually knew a word like that. Now, the point I'm getting at, when you're turning on all of these features, you know, that makes it easy on the eyes, look really good, can it also be easier on your eyes, literally? I mean, like, increased frame rate? I mean, what's better for a gamer? Like, I'm assuming if you're running something fast, you know, like Quake 3, you would want frame rate versus detail. Am I correct? Is that easier on your eyes?
Frame rate is definitely good. If you can run anything over 30 frames per second, then you're golden. So usually what you want to aim for is as much detail as you can get at 30 frames per second. Because the human eye can't discern any extra detail past 30 frames per second. That's about, you know, as much as we can process.
Oh, okay.
And can. So 30 frames per second with the greatest detail you can is great. But if you want to go higher than 30 frames per second, you certainly can. You just have to, you know, bump down the details somewhat.
Right.
Usually, Quake 3, it's a really fast-paced game, so the more frames per second you push, you know, the better, because if you're playing online, your frame rate sucks, you're going to get killed by someone who's faster.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Snake mentioned something. You know, I think it might, you know, this is probably a good opportunity to bring this up, and that is game hacking. Or, well, no, I should say cheating, I guess. He said it was cheating. They were talking about Counter-Strike and how people would go through walls and or shoot through walls, stuff like that. How do you guys feel about that? Or even the simple fact of using codes in your console game. Mary Chan, do you ever use codes, or have you ever, or how about walkthroughs?
Actually, alright, I use walkthroughs a good amount of the time, because half the time I swear to God that the game is deliberately designed so you can't make it through without the use of a walkthrough. Because there are things that you would never guess. It'd be like, well, I'm supposed to go over here, take the thing here, put it there, but walk back here, turn around, then go here. I mean, you know, sometimes I swear you really do need a walkthrough. Now, for cheat codes, let's see. Now, when I used to play Tomb Raider, there was a cheat code you could do where if you had lore, do all these random things, you could get unlimited ammo, or you could skip it to the next level. And I would skip it to the next level just because I wanted to know what the next level looked like.
Right.
And of course, if you want to get more complex, there was a Game Shark, which allowed all sorts of crazy things, you know, unlimited hit points, you know, increased power, all sorts of crazy stuff like that.
And you've used the Game Shark before?
No, I haven't.
Now, Kamikaze, how do you feel, now you're big, like Mary Chan, a big RPG gamer, how do you feel about the walkthroughs and or cheat codes?
Sometimes walkthroughs sometimes are the only way to get through it, because usually, like, when you buy a game at, like, a GameStop or something, they also ask you to buy the strategy guide at the same time.
Right.
So, you know, there might be some conspiracy there where they deliberately make the game hard, so you have to buy the strategy guide to make a little extra money off of you. That's just a conspiracy theory. But walkthroughs are absolutely great, because sometimes you don't have the time to figure out, you know, how to get past a certain area. You just want to get past it, so.
Right. And many conspiracy theories are true, by the way.
Yeah, and as for cheat codes, I think the best thing they're used for is after you've beaten a game, just to make it more fun. Because after you've beaten a game, you know, usually replay value is a high selling point. So if you can make the game worth playing again with cheat codes, you can just go have a blast. And first-person shooters, if you can enable some cheat codes, you can just have fun. That's why I think cheat codes are good. If you've already beaten the game and you just want to play it again with something fresh,
yeah.
You actually use them to go through the game, to beat your games, that's kind of shady, and I kind of look down on that.
Sure, sure. Now, how do you feel about, now, I don't know whether even to call it this, although I'm sure there is, I mean, like making your own levels, I would call that hacking, right? I would say that'd be game hacking, I mean, I don't know. That's a tough subject. That's a thin line, I think. Hacking. Do you think there is such a thing as game hacking?
Well, when you're actually editing the code of a game, like Half-Life, for example, which has mods, if you're actually, you know, hacking the game code to make a brand new game out of it and, you know, give back to the community, so to say, then I think that's perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely hacking. Okay, so you can actually do that with games now, not just use a train editor and make your own levels. You can actually...
Actually, Julie, you might be interested in this.
What's that?
I learned a while ago that there's a software now, I mean, pretty expensive stuff, that allows you to make your own 2D fighting games.
No way, on what?
No, I'm not too sure. I'm pretty sure it's a computer-based software program, and I know it costs an arm and a leg, and apparently it's only available in Japan right now, but, I mean, from what I hear, I mean, it is possible for you to actually, you know, create your own fighting game.
That would be a blast.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, wait. I've heard of RPG Maker. Am I wrong?
That actually does exist.
Okay.
There is a version of it on PlayStation 1.
Uh-huh.
And there are also RPG-making programs you can get for your PC. Some of them are illegal, they can't be sold here, but we've also heard of an RPG Maker being ported to Game Boy Advance.
Whoa.
That'd be pretty ambitious. I don't know how well that would work, but that'd be very time-consuming to actually make a game on your Game Boy Advance.
Oh, yeah. That would be a big time waster. Okay. I think, and of course, like Stank Dog said earlier, you know, people hacking code so they can shoot through walls and stuff. He said, that's not hacking, that's cheating, and I agree. So there is. Now, I've learned a lot already in this show. There is actual game hacking. People go in, make their own code, make their own levels. Yeah, I would say that is definitely hacking. Now, this is pretty big, you know. It was talked about on Off the Hook, and that is the new Grand Theft Auto game, Vice City. Apparently this one, I don't know how much farther it goes compared to Grand Theft Auto 3, but apparently it's making a big stink. I even think I saw something about it on TV, not sure, but I'm sure you both have heard this game, and probably all you listeners have too. You play, actually I don't know if it's a getaway driver, hitman, I'm not sure, but you can, you can carjack people, you can, go get a hooker and then beat her up and get your money back, which I think is funny. You can do lots of stuff. Of course, kill police officer, kill anybody in the game. Crash cars, do lots and lots of stuff. Now, personally, I think that people need an outlet for their demonic self. And video games are a great way to do it. I mean, why sit and be depraved if you can't, if you can't have an outlet for it, right? I mean, it's better to go and do this in a video game than to do it in real life, I think. I think it's a great outlet for people, and again, their demonic self. How do you guys feel about that? I think, and it's silly, for people to think at all, in the least, that video games have any impact on, the kids in Columbine is pure absurdity. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I remember when I was younger, must have been like 4 years or so, Mortal Kombat came out.
Well, yeah.
Remember, is the basic one-on-one fighting game. It was one of the most violent things of its time. You ripped out your opponent's heart, you decapitated them, you punched them, more blood just flew out, the more points you got. Parents had a fit. I mean, they were just horrified at this notion. And I don't know. I played Mortal Kombat and I turned out fine,
Right. Yeah, you haven't, blown fire on anybody or ripped their spine out or anything like that, have you? No.
I think I have.
Not when you're awake, anyways. Now, you, Kamikaze, I'm sure, I'm betting you feel the same way.
Pretty much, if you can discern between reality and, virtual reality, I think these games have absolutely no effect on the, healthy mind.
And if you couldn't, then you probably don't deserve to be, then you probably need some help in the first place.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, if you can't handle these games, you shouldn't be playing them.
Right.
But I agree with the fact that, we need to regulate the industry, because, I do not agree that kids should be playing Vice City. I don't really think it's a good thing at all. Kids are exposed to enough violent media as it is. We don't need to give them another, source of it.
Now, but should the industry regulate that, or should parents regulate that?
Well, I think, both, because, some parents are not going to do a damn thing, because there are many bad parents out there.
Yeah.
But I think the video game industry should also take some responsibility.
Those parents, though, the ones out there, they're the ones who say, yeah, get whatever video game you want, kid, and they're horrified at the concept that, the video game is, involving little Billy, carjacking stuff and picking up prostitutes. I'm actually friends with a good family, and I went over one night, and their kids rented Grand Theft Auto 3. And they were fine about it, the main concern was that, there's a lot of profanity, but, they knew he was a good kid, wouldn't say that when he wasn't supposed to, and they were watching him playing it,
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
If a family pays attention to what their child does, talks to the child, and explains to them, in real life, you shouldn't go pick up a plastic. And grab that convertible or whatever, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think you both have enlightened points. I mean, there are good families, and the kids know the difference between right and wrong, but like Kamikaze said, there are a lot of bad parents out there, and they're not going to do a damn thing, and again, that's an enlightened point. The less these kids are subject to this kind of stuff, the better, probably. I hate to say it, but yeah, I think you're right, Kamikaze. I think you're right. Now, there's a game, what was it called? BMX Triple X. I don't know if it's out. I don't know when it's coming out. I don't know whether I read this, actually, but it has frontal nudity. I don't know if there is any frontal nudity, female frontal nudity, in the Grand Theft Auto games, but apparently there is in this game. And, of course, the big stores, Walmart, Best Buy, all those big retail outlets, are not going to be carrying this game. Personally, I think it's wonderful. The more naked bodies, the better, man. The human body is a beautiful thing.
I'm so excited to saw Resident Evil because of that one shot Mila Jovovich.
Because of who?
You know, this one shot in Resident Evil, the movie, and you see Mila Jovovich's cooch, so I'm asking.
The movie, you said. Not the game?
Movie.
Okay, never seen the movie. Really? You get some bush?
Yeah, well, she's safe, but yeah.
No kidding.
Nice and safe, just like mine.
Oh! Ah! Holy moly! Listeners! That little gem can only be found. Can only be found. Oh, man, I'm losing control here. You now know. You now know very personal things on Ray Chan. Hey, I'm happy. I'm all the better for it. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Very happy. Thank you very much. I'm taking a drink there. Bet you never thought you'd hear that, Kamikaze.
I'm not gonna make any comments on that.
I know, man. I'm holding back big time. So, the gaming specialist turned into the Shades Coochie specialist. Yeah, I think it's cool that they're finally doing it against. You know, I had a Commodore 128, you know, right? And me and my buddies would swap 5 1/4 discs, you know, and hole punch the sides to get games of both sides. And one buddy of mine gave me a game, and, I can't remember the name, but basically you were a penis, right? And you're a penis with a condom on it. And you had to, like, fly through the venereal diseases, right? Like, kind of like space of it, you know, you're flying through these little alien-looking things, and they were venereal diseases. You had to fly through and not get hit, because if you got hit, there would, you know, it would destroy the condom. Yeah, oh, it gets better. It gets better. And then when you get to the, well, you know, the chinchilla, the cooch down at the bottom or top of the screen, wherever it was.
That's the cooch.
Yeah, cooch. Can I say cooch? How about chinchilla?
I like cooch, personally, but I'm just wondering if you can actually say it. I like coochie. It sounds cuter, but...
How about little monkeys?
No, that's not it.
Bumping monkeys. No, that's not it? Okay. Well, anyway, so you get to the chonch down there, and then it would change views from the, you know, the space shooter kind to a side view. Not quite a platformer, because you're the big penis, right? And you would have to move. Oh, shit. You would have to move the joystick back and forth. Back and forth, back and forth. To move the penis back and forth, you know, in the cunt. And until you finished. Until you ejaculated. This is on the Commodore. This is a Commodore 64 game. I was playing on the 128. And if you did not get hit by the venereal aliens, you would have the condom, and you would spunk in the condom. You know, you bust a grape inside the rubber, and you would win. If not, you didn't have the condom, you would knock the chick up, and you would lose, and that was the game.
That is wonderful. That's
oh, yeah, and any listeners, if you played the game, let me know. Write me in, because I want to know the name of it. My favorite game on the Commodore 128. Was Bruce Lee. That game rocked. Search for a Bruce Lee Commodore on Google, and you'll get to a site, and there's actually like an executable so you can play Bruce Lee on your PC. That game was so much fun. Oh, there was one other semi-porno game, and that's everywhere, actually. It was strip poker. It was kind of cool. You know, you, of course, play poker, and the bitmap girls, you know, there was no animation, right? It was just like a girl with a bustier and then a girl without a bustier, you know.
Girl, have you heard of hentai games?
Hentai games? Yeah, actually I have. Isn't there one like, and now correct me if I'm wrong, you're like a teacher and you have to pick up on high school girls?
Probably. There are all sorts of crazy stuff. They're insanely, like, perverse, though. I swear, some of them are, like, good, normal, like, you know, pick up girls, you know, scream or whatever. The other half involves you doing it to your sister, your cousin. like a 10-year-old, you know. Anything you can think of. So there was some humor value in them, you know?
Sure.
That was like really, really badly translated Japanese dialogue.
Incest, Japanese incest game. You know, I've been looking for a good Japanese incest game. I'm so glad. Thank you, Mary Chan. Thank you so much. You know, for bringing the show down to my level. Straight up. I wouldn't have remembered that game. Man, I moved a joystick back and forth. Man, I can't remember how many joysticks I were playing that game. That was so much fun. Whew, good times. Good times. You ever playing porno games, Kamikaze?
I tend not to. I enjoy it a little
bit. That's where it's at, man. You know, I'm a classic guy. You know, so I tend to gravitate towards classic stuff like that. Well, you know what? Mary Chan, you are actually a very classy woman, and I thank you for being on the show. And Kamikaze, thank you. You're actually, like, an expert and can talk intelligently about something that actually has, a lot of depth. This is a topic that one show cannot cover. I mean, there's technology, there's moral issues, there's stories that'll make you cry, and there really are. And I'm sorry that I've never played a game that has brought out that much emotion to me. So there's a lot to gaming, listeners, and I think it's a good outlet for people. I think it's a good use of your time. It's a good avocation. So go play some games. Thank you both for being on the show, and I wish I had Legend of Zelda by System of a Down. Everybody search your favorite peer-to-peer file sharing network for that. Legend of Zelda, System of a Down, it's hilarious. It's so good. Later.